Welcome to Crossroads, the broadcast ministry of Montgomery's First Baptist Church, where you can discover God's personal plan and power to conquer your problems through Jesus Christ. Join us now as God's Word heals, encourages, and enlightens your spiritual life.
Come with me, if you would, to Matthew 13. We'll start in verse 1. Because we are looking at the kingdom. It may help you to find this piece of paper entitled Sharing Kingdom Seeds. I encourage you to take it, put it near the crease of your Bible, fill in a few notes, because Jesus is all about the kingdom. And we're in the process of decoding the kingdom. Last week, as we traveled through the New Testament and particularly focused on the Gospels, we saw the first sermon of Jesus. It's in Matthew 4, verse 17. And there, Jesus came preaching the kingdom of God. He said, repent, because the kingdom of God is at hand. His message was all about the kingdom. He taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. He said, seek first the kingdom. He told all of these stories that the kingdom of heaven is like. And so that's why today we're going to fast forward to Matthew 13, because in Matthew 13, Jesus gives us seven kingdom parables are pictures that help us understand the kingdom. As a matter of fact, make this note, we're going to dig into this. Jesus is unveiling the salvation process in the first few verses of Matthew 13. Now, the Lord saved me when I was 13 years old. The year was 1967. Jesus became my king, the king of my everything. I quickly understood that I needed to do what this title infers, start sharing kingdom seeds, sharing the gospel with people. I had a friend who was in Young Life, and Young Life is still around. Matter of fact, for many years, our own Tommy McGregor headed Young Life here in Montgomery. And this guy and I teamed up, and we brought Young Life to Georgetown High School. Now, Georgetown High School was not very large. It was 2A, but it was so exciting. The first meeting, we had 10 or 12, and then it grew to 15 to 20, and then 30 or 40, 50 or 60. One night, we had almost 100 in the library of Georgetown High School. And it was so exciting to share these gospel seeds. And I was seeing my friends come to Jesus. And it reminded me of what Jesus said. You can multiply your influence as you share gospel seeds. 100, 60, 30-fold. And that's what I'm into. I'm into kingdom multiplication and investment. So even as a young person, I understood this principle, and that's what I want us to dive deep into today, understanding that the Lord Jesus, the King of Kings, is inviting us to share kingdom seeds. And we'll find that message as we start here in Matthew 13, verse 1. And on that day, Jesus went out of the house. He was sitting by the Sea of Galilee. The house that he was staying in was in Capernaum. And a great multitude gathered about him so that he got into a boat and he sat down, and the whole multitude was standing on the beach. He spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, the sower went out to sow, and he sowed some seeds that fell beside the road, and the birds came and devoured them. And others fell upon rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. And when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. The others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. Now, this is the first of seven kingdom parables that will decode what the kingdom looks like, because who is Jesus? He's the King of Kings. And he wants us to be part of his kingdom as we surrender to him. Now, evidently, the disciples were not always the sharpest knives in the drawer. And they didn't quite understand this kingdom parable, so they said, Jesus, would you help us out? So for this one, he does them a favor, and this is the one that he decodes or deciphers. So let's pick up in verse 18 and hear the interpretation or the meaning of the sower and the seed parable. Verse 18, hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one, this is the devil himself, comes and snatches away the seed which was sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed was sown beside the road. That's the hard ground. Verse 20, and on the one, and the seed was sown in the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no firm root in himself, but it's only temporary. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. Verse 22, the one on whom the seed was sown among the thorns is the man who hears the word, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And the one on whom the seed was sown on the good ground, this is the man who hears the word, understands it, and bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Let's pray. Father, oh, help us. Help us to come to full spiritual attention and set aside every distraction that we might fully focus on these phenomenal, life-changing, life-giving truths. Lord, please get me out of the way so that your spirit could be released in this place, depositing your truth into every receptive heart. And we pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, here's what I want us to do. I want us to pull this apart, and let's begin to understand that these seven parables are decoding what it means to be a part of the kingdom of God. Now, we've got to begin with the beginning, and that is the sower. So make this note. Who is the sower? Now, we learn that the sower is none other than King Jesus. Look on your worksheet. Jesus said in Matthew 4:17, he began to preach, and what was his message? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Jesus is the sower, and he is building his kingdom as he shares kingdom seeds. This is what he does. And he invites us to join in this process of sowing kingdom seeds. Now, I told you just a few minutes ago that I started that process of sowing kingdom seeds and sharing the gospel when I was in high school. I read the Great Commission, and I heard Jesus say, go and make disciples and sow kingdom seeds. So I started doing that. We started this Young Life Club and saw many people come to Christ. And I continue to do that. You see, if you wanted to condense what I'm all about, it's this simple. I help people follow Jesus. I help people enter the kingdom. This is my goal, to share kingdom seeds. That's what I do. I'll give you a very fresh example. I wish you could follow me around through a week. I have the most fascinating life, actually, that I know about. It's just incredible. So here's a day out of my life. Tuesday, this last Tuesday, we have our staff meeting with our wonderful staff, and we pray together and plan. And then I had Doug McBride's funeral. I've known Doug McBride since I came here in 1981, and Doug stepped into heaven, and this awesome man was a dairyman out on Highway 231. And can I confess something to you? I like funerals. I know that sounds weird, but I see the fun in funerals. And you know why? Because a funeral is an opportunity to share gospel seeds. We live in this death-denying culture. A lot of people can't even enter a funeral home. They are allergic to funerals. And yet when I have a bunch of people gathered up, like at that funeral, and Doug's wife, Bobby McBride, had been the headmaster at St. James, we had a ton of people there. It becomes this opportunity for me to share Jesus. I mean, I'm just throwing gospel seeds right and left. And so I had this funeral. Then I realized I need to go check on John Stanley's brother, Mike, who had had a very extensive brain surgery. And then Haywood Sport, he was over in the hospital, so I was going to go by and see him, run over to Baptist South. And I'm going from Haywood Sports to Frances Green's room. Frances Green, one of my favorite friends, always sits right back there. She's fallen, broken her femur. So she's got a mess going on. And on the way, between Haywood and Frances, I walked by on third floor Baptist South, this prayer room. And we have prayer rooms all over that hospital because we heal people in Jesus' name there. And I saw a man literally sitting slumped in a chair with a Walmart cap on, and he had his face buried in his hands. And God's Spirit just prompted me, spoke to me, go check on that man. I've done this hundreds of times in the hospital because A hospital is a great place to find hurting people who need the hope of Jesus. So I came up to this man and I just said, "Hey, my brother, I'm a pastor and I can see your heart is hurting. What's going on?" And he just looked up and he had tear stains on his cheeks. And he said, "Well, Pastor, my name is Joe. And my dad, Joe Sr., he's got bad cancer, but he's got diabetes, and they just amputated part of his leg. And I don't think he's going to make it." So I said, "Well, let me ask you, Joe, because I'm Jay, and I'm Jay Jr., just like you're Joe Jr., and my dad, Jay Sr., battled with cancer. Man, I can totally relate to where you are. And do you think that if your daddy died, that he would be ready to meet Jesus?" And he just shook his head. He said, "I don't believe so. My dad's a hard man." I said, well, look, let me give you something that's super valuable. I want you to take this little book. It's kind of like a gospel seed. And you read it, and then you go read it to your daddy. When he wakes up, you read this to your daddy, and you tell him about Jesus. Because more important than him receiving medicine or chemotherapy is him receiving Jesus. And he said, "I agree with you, Pastor." And I mean, he took these two little pamphlets like I was giving him diamonds. Actually, I was doing something more important than giving him diamonds. I was giving him the keys to the kingdom. Don't you see it? You see, that's what this is. And God has given us the privilege of joining him in this amazing holy enterprise of sowing the seed. That's what we do. Well, let's go to the seeds part. Jesus is the sower, and we get to join him in this enterprise of being kingdom farmers. And what do we sow? We sow seeds. Now, seeds are fascinating, aren't they? Seeds come in all shapes, forms, and sizes, but they are not very pretty. This is an avocado seed, by the way. I ate that avocado yesterday just so I could show you the seed of the avocado. It was pretty good. But that avocado seed doesn't look like much. Wouldn't be good to eat. But I can guarantee you, the power of a seed is that it contains life. It contains potential. So when you see a seed, you see the potential for life, don't you? Did you know the largest seed is a tree called a cocoa tree? And the seed weighs 60 pounds. Now that is a giant seed. But the smallest seed is the seed of an orchid. The seed of an orchid is so small, you can place 5 orchid seeds on the head of a tiny pin. And yet, from the largest to the smallest, they all contain the potential of life when you plant those seeds. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus tells us to do. He says, we are going to go out and plant seeds. Now, we've all planted a seed along the way. I remember when I was a little kid, maybe yours was in a Sunday school class in a styrofoam cup, but when I was a kid, my mom and dad were mega gardeners. My mother was amazing. She could stick a broom handle in the ground and make it sprout. But we would go out, and we were conscripted labor, the 5 little wolf cubs, and we would plow up this acre garden. We had a huge garden. It was Texas rocky soil, and I can still remember my mom planting those squash seeds. She would plant them in what she called hills so that they would grow in a mound. And then she planted watermelons and cantaloupes, and we planted okra, and we had tomatoes. I mean, we planted this huge garden. Now, it didn't look like much until those seeds erupted into life. And then they grew into stalks, and the next thing you knew, we were eating fried okra. I'm telling you, that's good stuff. And we had squash casserole and delicious cold watermelon, all because that seed turned into fruit. Now, this is the analogy that Jesus shared in the agrarian world he lived in. He said that the sower goes out and he sows seeds. Well, what are seeds? These are the seeds of the gospel. Look on your worksheet. Here's the seed. It's in Romans 1:16. Paul said it like this, "I am not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for salvation for everyone who believes, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile." You see, the gospel is like a seed. And when we share the gospel seed, which is essentially sharing the message of the love and the light and the life of Jesus, We inculcate people with this seed we planted in their spirit and understanding that Jesus is real. He came to this earth in the incarnation. He loved us so much that he died through a crucifixion. He had a validating resurrection. He extends to all an invitation that says the living Jesus wants to live in you. Can you imagine? These seeds are of greatest value. And our job is to plant these seeds wherever we go. Peter certainly did it at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. 3,000 received the seed of the Word of God, and they were saved, and they came to know the Lord. Philip continued to share the seeds. He went down to Samaria, and we find in Acts chapter 8, he spread the seeds, and a gospel revival broke out. He shared those seeds with the Ethiopian, and the man got saved. Paul and Acts chapter 16 went to Philippi. He shared the gospel seeds, and the jailer and his family and Lydia and the demon-possessed girl, they were all getting saved because they were getting the seed of the gospel planted in their life. Oh, my friend, our mission goes on. Do you know we have a mission through this church and the work of Andy and Tanya Birchfield called Children's Hope? Are most of you aware of Children's Hope? Do you know one of the most astonishing things of that ministry in the last 8 years is that we have been helping children. We have 50 orphans that we help, 1,200 students. But as we go, we have seen 4,000 people give their life to Jesus. Is that incredible? 4,000 people have come to Christ because we've been planting the seeds of the gospel as we've ministered to the people there. That is the power of the gospel. Now, I've had the privilege of traveling a lot. I've traveled on 5 continents, I've shared Jesus on all 5 continents, and I have seen hundreds, literally thousands of people come to Christ as the seed of the gospel has been sown unashamedly. My friends, here's the point. These gospel seeds work. So we join the sower to sow gospel seeds. This is our calling and task, to share the kingdom seeds. Now, we come to the third part of the parable. Let's dissect it real quickly, and that's the soils. The soils. Now, Jesus was watching the people, and he ascertained that there were 4 types of receptors for the gospel seed that he was throwing out. And we're going to look at these 4 types. And I will tell you this, while I don't have the audio meter of Jesus, I can't perfectly discern what you're getting from what I'm saying. I have been preaching for 40 years. I preached my first sermon when I was 16. So I've been doing this for a long time. So I preached a lot of sermons, and I've watched a lot of people listen to me preach. And it can be a disturbing experience, actually. Now, there's a lot of variance in how people receive the message, I can tell you. Oh, there are some people who lean forward. Man, they've got their nose out. They're just soaking it all in. You can just see it. It's almost like they're thirsty for the Word, and they soak it in. They've got a bon appetit. They've got a good appetite. Other people are more casual listeners, maybe the James Bond approach. I never saw James Bond take any notes, but I did see him just kind of casually soak it all up, and so I received that. But some people, oh my goodness, some people are just almost checked out. You know, some people are just kind of like, oh man, you know, when is this going to be over? I got lunch coming. So there's a lot of difference in how people receive the Word. Jesus broke it down into these 4 categories real quick. There's the hard heart, described in verse 19. This is a picture of how hard paths crisscrossed Palestine. And some of the seed just fell onto hard ground. And that is a picture of the closed mind and the closed heart. The seed of the Word goes in one ear, out the other, no stop, no impact. Now, here's what's startling. Jesus reveals that Satan is engaged in the process. Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever tried to read God's Word and you've had trouble concentrating or focusing? Maybe you've read it 3, 4, 5 times and you're just not getting anything out of it. May I lovingly tell you that there is an enemy called the devil, and he would love to pull you away from the Word of God? And even in a moment like this, there are distractors. I mean, the enemy is engaged in this process, and it may be you're distracted from an active child Or maybe your distraction has to do with a talkative person sitting beside you. Or maybe your distraction is that your cell phone is vibrating and you're trying to do a text without anybody seeing it. I mean, what are your distractions? Do you know where they come from? They don't come from heaven, friend. Jesus is saying they come straight from hell to prevent you from receiving the seed of the Word of God that can change your life. Now, he gives us, secondly, after the hard heart, the shallow heart. And in verse 20, he says there's one who receives the seed on the rocky place. And the word really finds no root. It's only temporary, and then affliction comes, and they fall away. Now, I want you to understand, it works like this. A lot of times people come to the Lord, and maybe they are like Emmett Emotional. And Emmett Emotional went to go be entertained at a concert, a Christian concert, and he heard the gospel, and it touched his heart. It created some tears. He walked forward. He made a decision. The next Sunday, he went to church, and Emmett, the emotional, who was entertained, he was so excited. And then he was going to go to church the next week, and his friend, Dan, the devil man, comes up and says, "Hey, Emmett, we're going to have one of our lake parties this Sunday." And can you imagine, Mr. Emmett Emotional says, "Oh, I'm going to go to church Sunday. I'm following Jesus." "What?" says Dan the devil man. "You're following Jesus? Are you going to become one of those religious freaks on me, a Jesus freak? Are you just going to go nuts with religion? Come on, take my name out of your contact list." So he gets a little bit of persecution. And you know what Emmett generally will do? "I was just kidding, Dan, the devil man. What is the address on that party? I'll be there next Sunday." And there are a lot of people who are shallow. I would even call them, you know what Alka-Seltzer Christian is? You know how Alka-Seltzer works? You just take a little bit of Alka-Seltzer, and it looks so good on the outside, and you just drop it in there, and then all of a sudden, it's looking good, and it is, furiously fizzing. And you kind of all get all excited about Jesus, and there's that furious fizz, and then after a while, it stops and disappears. And I'm not trying to be harsh, but I think some people are about like that, Alka-Seltzer Christians. They fizzle a little bit, and then they're gone. They disappear. Oh, you don't want to be in that category, do you? And yet the Bible says that there will be people who will receive the gospel and quickly fizzle and fade, and they are gone. You see, here's what we try to do at our church, friends. We're not here just to tickle your ears and to entertain you. I'm not here just to pull on the strings of your emotions. I am here to equip you. That's why for the last 28 years, I have given my dead level best, highest, and most to preaching to you the living Word of God from the full counsel of God, from the book of Genesis to Revelation. Why? Because I want you to be equipped to be deeply devoted, fully following disciples of King Jesus. That's what it's about. So that's what we do here. And I'll go ahead and tell you, I'd rather train a few warriors than a bunch of wimps. Because if we're going to make a kingdom difference, we need some warriors out there who are equipped, not just entertained, are emotive. Are you with me? Let's go to number three. You see, number three is so important to understand. That's the crowded soil. The crowded soil. The seed hits in the soil, and then these weeds come up and choke it out. And it never produces any fruit. And then Jesus interprets the weeds as worry and wealth. And in Luke, it's pleasure. Worry and wealth. Man, worry will choke out your faith. So will wealth. But if you want a double whammy, worry about your wealth. That'll really give you a bad spot to be in. And then pleasure factors in. And those things are divided loyalties. Look on your worksheet. You see, the crowded heart is reflected in Matthew 6. No one can serve two masters. Either they will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. Do you know the key to the kingdom is inviting Jesus to weed out your garden? Every plot of land only has so much moisture and nutrition, the nutrients. And when you've got a plant that's being in competition with the weeds, a lot of times the weeds win. I don't know what it is, but the weeds grow better in my yard than the grass sometimes. So the weeds are powerful. So what you need to do is every day say, Lord, I give you permission to weed my garden. I had a wonderful friend who was a master gardener, and I said, what have you learned about your spiritual life from your garden? And they put it so beautifully. He said, every day I invite Jesus to pull those noxious, competitive weeds out of the garden so that kingdom fruit can flourish. And then lastly, how did Jesus finish? The teachable soil, that's in verse 23. That is the soft, surrendered soul. And that soft, surrendered soul will receive the seed of the Word of God, and it will start to multiply. It will grow 160 and 30 times. That means we'll produce in our character the fruit of the Spirit. We'll look like Jesus. We'll be full of His love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But also, you will reproduce who you are. What does an apple tree produce? Apples. So what should a Christ follower produce? Other Christ followers. So if your soil is good, you will naturally do that. That's what it means to share the kingdom, share those kingdom seeds, and then multiply the kingdom impact as you share them. Well, here's the take-home point. What type of dirt are you? What type of dirt are you? Think about it. Are you hard dirt? I mean, right now you can be resistant to the Word of God and be hard. Are you shallow? Are you crowded? Are you teachable? Are you surrendered to the purpose of God? Well, here's the good news. Wherever you are, you don't have to stay there. Let me tell you a great story. Dr. Gaylord Kamarami was the director of the International Bible Society in Zimbabwe, headquartered in Harare. Well, Gaylord Kamarami one day was out distributing Bibles. He was distributing little New Testaments. And this man came up to him who looked like he had been drinking and he was belligerent. And do you know what he said? He said, I'll take one of those, but you got to know I'm just going to use it to smoke cigarettes. I'm going to use the paper to roll up tobacco and smoke cigarettes. And Gaylord Kamarami said, well, sir, I'll let you do that, but I want to ask that you make me a promise. Before you smoke that page of the scripture, would you promise to read it? He said, well, okay. It's a lot better than newspaper. I'll take it. So he took the little Bible, and Gaylord saw this man 3 years later. He was at a Christian conference for a Bible distribution, and much to his surprise, this man comes up to him, and this man's name was Johann Masowe. And he comes up to him, and he's dressed smartly, and he's got a big Bible under his arm, and he said, Gaylord, I want to tell you what happened. And let me read what he said. He said, Gaylord, I smoked my way through Matthew, Mark, and Luke. But when I got to John 3:16, I couldn't smoke anymore. When I read about God's love for me in Jesus, I got on my knees, I surrendered to Jesus, and He has changed my life. Now I am a kingdom servant. So that's the bottom line. Surrender the soil of your soul to the Savior and share His kingdom seeds. Let's pray about it. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing worship with us. We trust God has used this broadcast for your spiritual growth and encouragement. If this ministry has touched your life, please let us know. If you'd like to share in the cost of this broadcast, you may send your gifts and support to First Baptist Church. Your partnership with us will help strengthen and extend this ministry and will be greatly appreciated. And remember, when you are at the crossroads, follow Christ.